Welcome to the Chocolate Cake Bites podcast. This is a podcast where we will discuss the sweet nuggets of goodness that come from living the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Ken Williams. The opinions, attitudes, thoughts, and ideas that we discuss are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily a reflection of the actual doctrines of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Thanks for listening and enjoy this week's conversation.
And this week's conversation is going to be a short one because I just had a couple thoughts I wanted to throw out, give you a chance to digest. The next week, it'll be longer. Who knows? I don't know. Okay, I don't know what is going on with my cat, but for the last hour and a half, I've been sitting at my desk and she has been ignoring me. Sometimes she's asleep on the chair by my desk. Sometimes she is wandering through the house. She had been wandering through the house. And I hit record, and she wandered up. She is now sitting on my lap. So, if you hear a little cat noise, that is what's happening. I was talking to somebody. It might have been, I think it was Edison, my little boy Edison, who said, "Dad, you should get the cat on the podcast." I said, "The cat is on every single episode, because as soon as I start talking, doesn't matter what happens, she hears me and comes over to say hi." So, here she is, coming over to say hi. And now that I've got that out of the way, that little distraction, she's bumping my microphone. She's moving it away from my mouth. So, welcome. Welcome, cat. And last week I talked about, last week Annette and I talked about mercy. And we had this really fascinating, for me anyways, conversation that took a lot of twists and turns. And part of the reason that that was on my mind was because I was asked to give a talk in church on Sunday about mercy. And the way the topic was presented to me was, we'd like you to give a talk on mercy. And there was no direction, which is fine. So there wasn't anything specific that I was trying to hit as far as my own personal agenda or the agenda of the bishopric when they asked me to share some thoughts. So I started doing some reading, and I did not include this in the show notes like I had promised I was going to, or like I suggested I might. It was the Sean Rapier comedy bit on getting up and doing a sacramenting talk, or actually doing a comedy bit as if it were a sacramenting talk. And the first thing that we tend to do is the dictionary definition of whatever the topic is. Is, or according to Webster's, or according to whatever. I did not do that. I said I would not do that, and I did not do that. But I did share how I have decided to define mercy for myself. One of the things that I think happens for probably more than just me is we, and this is a kind of a royal we, this is me talking about myself, I hear terms and I assume I know what they mean until I really dig into it. And it turns out that the term means something a little bit more robust, a little bit richer than what I assumed. And one of my favorite examples of this is the word charity. And if you look up charity, I have no idea what it says because I didn't do that in preparation for this podcast. But in classes, many times when somebody asks, "What does charity mean?" we answer with the pure love of Christ, which I think is technically correct. But those words don't mean anything to me. And maybe that's just my finite mind showing its limits. But a definition that I found for charity that I really love is loving people like Christ loves people. To me, that's a little bit more tangible. If I want to develop charity, and I assume that the target is the pure love of Christ, I don't know what that means. What is the pure love of Christ? On the other hand, if I think about loving people like Christ loves people, that is a little bit more realistic because I can imagine how I don't have to imagine. I have seen evidence in scriptures and stories that people have shared and that sort of thing. But there is evidence of how Christ loves people, what he does, to love people, what he does to show his love for people. So that's a little bit more tangible. So mercy. Mercy is, in my definition, not punishing or withholding punishment when punishment is deserved, and forgiving when forgiveness is not deserved or when forgiveness is not warranted. That is how I've decided to define mercy. That explains mercy to me in a way that is a little bit easier for me to understand than some of the abstract definitions that I might have looked at or read or seen or heard. So mercy is forgiveness when it's not warranted, and withholding punishment when punishment is warranted. And I'm not going to re-give my talk. I don't think that I could remember all the details, but I will share a couple things. Marcine, my sweet wife, and I were driving around the day, I think it was Saturday. We were driving up to visit our daughter, son-in-law, and that's about an hour trip each way. So we had some time to chat, and we were talking about mercy. We're talking about what that looks like in our lives. And she brought up the idea of tender mercies. And I love the concept of tender mercies, but I had not considered that as I was discussing or as I was preparing my thoughts, my remarks, trying to put things down on paper, because I imagined that that didn't really apply. That's just a way that we use the word mercy. It's a tender mercy. But then I realized, she's so much wiser than I am in many ways, and maybe every way, who knows? I realized that I don't deserve anything. I don't deserve any mercy from God because I am a fallen person, because I am a human being, because I am not perfect, because I make mistakes on the daily. I haven't earned anything. I haven't earned mercy. I haven't earned forgiveness. And so I realized that absolutely tender mercies apply. Tender mercies are an absolutely perfect way to describe the relationship or the interactions that we have with deity, with our Father in heaven, with our Savior, with our as we take advantage of the atonement of Jesus Christ, as we have experiences that are clear blessings that we don't deserve, because as imperfect people, we deserve punishment. When we make mistakes, we deserve to be punished, don't we? And so anytime we are not punished, and a little bit of a tangent here, I believe, this I got from the Adam Miller book, Original Grace, I believe that God is not in the business of punishing. So I'm going to come back to that in a minute. So anytime that I receive a blessing, anytime that I receive kindness, whether it's directly from God or whether it's from one of his children, which happens regularly, that I have kindness exhibited to me. I was out with some friends the other night. We had dinner with some friends, and we were just having an enjoyable evening. And I get a message from somebody else who was just thinking about us. It was so kind. And they knocked on our door. We weren't home, unfortunately, but they brought some treats. Wonderful, wonderful example of a tender mercy. And they left a sweet note as well, sent me a text just so there was a good heads up that we had something at our front door. But such a great example of a tender mercy. Now, here's how I think I want to bring it full circle. I mentioned earlier, and we've talked on the podcast in the past about the fact that we've talked about repentance and forgiveness and how that all plays in. We've talked about how, well, let me put it this way. And I can't wait for Annette to finish reading the book, Original Grace, because I think there are some really good discussions that we can still have relating to that. But here's my assertion. If we believe in the atonement of Jesus Christ, if we believe that he died to pay for the sins of all mankind, if we truly believe that, that event or series of events, depending on how you want to define it, but that event means that there is no reason to talk about the law of justice. We know that God requires justice. We know that because of our sins, we are ineligible to return to his presence. And we know that if we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, if we follow him, if we obey his commandments, if we do the best we can, we will have our sins forgiven. We will become clean. Here's my observation of my last 50 plus years, 55, if you want to be a little bit more specific. Culturally, in, and I'm going to call it, quote, the church, in Christianity, my observation, I'm closest to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but I have some connection with many other churches. My observation is that culturally, in the Christian culture, we spend way too much of our time and attention on the law of justice. We spend so much of our attention worried that people might or might not receive the justice that they deserve. We spend so much time worried that somebody who did something that they should not have done might not be punished for what they did, that they might not adequately repent. This is my, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. This is my declaration. Maybe that's how I'll say it this time. This is my declaration. There is zero need to ever talk about the law of justice. I think it's important to recognize that it exists. I think it's valuable to know that it's there, but it does not serve any purpose for us to dwell on it. It is a non-issue. If you accept Jesus Christ, he's already taken care of the justice. If you don't accept Jesus Christ, he's already taken care of the justice. That part has already been worked out. That part is done. It is a non-starter. I don't know if I'm using that word right. There's no point. There's no value. There's no benefit. There's no gain in having any conversation within ourselves, with each other, about the law of justice and how it might or might not take effect, who it might or might not affect. It is pointless because he already took care of it. It's already done. It's over. That part is over. We don't have anything to gain, nothing to gain by focusing on the need for justice. That part is over. And I haven't thought about this in this way ever until I started thinking about this talk. What that means is the only thing we have to worry about is the law of mercy. The only thing we need to worry about is the law of mercy. And God has already set the terms on that. Matthew 5:7, I think it is, says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." He's also said that I will forgive whom I will forgive, but of you it is required to forgive all people, which means the only thing, I wish I could shout because I feel so strongly about this, the only thing that we need to worry about is forgiving and demonstrating mercy. Full stop. That's it. It's not even towards others. It's we have to be merciful with ourselves, with each other, with people that we don't know, with people that we do know. We have to forgive ourselves, others, people that we know, people that we don't know. There should be no requirement that we expect, prerequisite that we require before we're willing to demonstrate mercy or allow forgiveness. That part is not our place. I'm getting really preachy on this one. But I think it's an important reminder that if you said something that hurt my feelings and I hold a grudge until you realize that you said something to hurt my feelings, who's hurt? We talked about this a couple of weeks ago when we talked about forgiveness. I'm the one who's hurt. I'm the one whose progress has stopped. It's not you. You probably don't even know. We talked about this last week about my dad. You don't even know that you may have offended somebody. So it's not hurting you if I hold a grudge. It's only hurting me. So let's let the grudges go. Let's let the anger go. Let's let the criticism go. And I know this is easier to say than it is to do. I'm just saying this is what I'm learning. My obligation is to have mercy. My obligation is to forgive. My obligation is to get myself to the point where I'm ready to accept the everlasting, eternal atonement, the blessings, the benefits that He has willingly and freely offered to anybody who accepts. The only thing I have to do is accept it. Now that I've got all preachy, I make no apologies for that. But there you go. That's it. That's what I wanted to share because that's what's been on my mind this week. Thanks so much for being a part of the community. I love sharing thoughts with you. And if you have anything that you want us to talk about in the future, let me know. Reach out. I'd love to hear from you. In the meantime, have a wonderful week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to Chocolate Cake Bites. Please like, share, subscribe, and give us a 5-star rating and review. We'd love to hear your comments and ideas, and you can reach out to me at ken@chocolatecakebites.com. And before you end the day, take a few minutes to consider, who do you know who needs chocolate cake?